You guys can go ahead and be seated. Listen, I don't know about you guys, but I love to be able to worship us as a body gathered together singing. And you saw some pictures. I do want to reassure you, that man was baptized. You didn't get to see him go under, but he was baptized, yes. And he was baptized, this should be real clear with you, he was baptized by his son. His son discipled him. His son and daughter-in-law discipled him. He came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and today he was able to be baptized. It was a beautiful picture. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the reasons that we believe in next generation ministry, pouring into preschoolers and children and students. And I'm going to invite you. I'm going to say this real quick up at the top. I want to invite you. We want you to be involved. If you're a member here, we need you involved in Next Gen Ministry. We have places right now that we need people serving in preschool and children's and students. And so if you want to know how to do that, you see me later, and we will get you plugged in. It's really, really important. If you're a guest today, we have guests all over this building, not just in here. We have some in our family room. So family room, thank you for being there and being involved and stepping in. If you're a guest today, thank you for worshiping with us today. I want to invite you to, after the service, you come back and see me, or if you're in the family room, you can see CJ or Kurt. We have a gift for you we want to give you. I also want to be able to get a little info from you just so we can send you a note of thanks for worshiping with us today. And so thank you for being here. Corona has done a number on us, hadn't it? I mean, I was thinking about this week, that we've not met. Last week was our reopening. Prior to that, I mean, we haven't met as a body since March the 8th. I mean, March 8th. I know that's happened all around. It's kind of crazy. And in the midst of all of that, when you are a body and a family, you're not sure what to do. Even you may, when you came in a little while ago, you're like going, okay, what do I do? I mean, I don't really know quite what to do. Here, I want to take the pressure off of you for just a moment, all right? Listen, if you're coming through the parking lot or whatever, you just, hey, thumbs up, good to see you, love you. You can high five. I'm open, all right? If you want to hug, I'll hug you. If you want to shake hands, I'll shake hands. I'll do whatever. But take the pressure off each other. We just want you to be here. We have people right now who are watching online, and I want to say thank you for watching online. They're still not able to be back yet because of vulnerabilities, because of senior adults. And we're so thankful, and you're not forgotten. We're going to keep reaching out to you, and you'll be back soon, and we're hopeful for those days. But Corona has been, it's been kind of weird. If for some of you, I've even had conversations with Pete. I've had conversations over the last several months, and in some instances, I've had to say, hey, turn the news off. All right, you've been involved in news way too much. Turn it off. If you're watching the news nonstop, you've probably become a doomsday prepper. You've got more TP than Charmin does right now. All right, it's kind of crazy. You keep hearing things. Now, listen, we're not minimizing it because I don't want you to hear me minimizing it, because for folks who have struggled, it's a real deal. This is a real deal. All right, but. If you are watching the news, many times what you're ending up hearing is it is globally devastating. You're hearing words like never before, in our own lifetime. And listen, in our own lifetime, we've never faced anything like this. I'm looking around, and it's sad to say, but I may be one of the older guys in this room right now. And in my lifetime, we haven't ever really faced anything like this. But what I don't want you to lose sight of, all right, because what happens a lot of times is we think everything rises and falls on us just right here at this moment. I want you to know there have been global outbreaks and pandemics throughout history. Even back in the 100s, there was a smallpox outbreak that happened that took out over half of the Roman Empire. The bubonic plague by some estimates, took out half of the European continent. You have the Spanish flu of 1918, that it wreaked havoc. But what I want you to hear is this real quick. And again, do not miss what I'm saying. We're in a situation today where it is very serious for those folks who have come down, okay? But even in the midst of that, throughout the history of the world, the church has always survived. It's always found ways to meet. It's always found ways to gather. It's always found ways, and it has grown. You know why it's grown? Because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And so, church, I want you to hear this. We have opportunities to reach out to people that are in our own body and those that we don't even know. We have opportunities to come alongside and to help minister to those in our own congregation who are in need. There are people still at home today because of this. And I want to encourage you. You begin to reach out, not just in your own family. Begin to reach out and say, hey, we love you. We care for you. We're praying for you. You are missed. All right. Last week, we began a new series called This Changes Everything, talking about some of the changes that we've seen and that we hope we're going to continue to see because of COVID, because of what's going on. We didn't meet for literally three months. And in that time, some things that we saw that were very, very important that we go, okay, we want this to be different about us. One was the importance of the gathering. You see that right here. It's important to gather together. Many of you, this was your first Sunday back, and you walked in and said, I feel like I'm home. Whether that's in the auditorium or you're in the family rooms, you're going, I feel like I'm home. Well, welcome home. I also want you to know we've learned the importance of scattering. You know, the church being scattered and taking Jesus to the streets. Even though we're not able to meet for 3 months, I have heard story after story after story of how you have walked in the lives of people and been Jesus with skin on in their lives during these days. Well, we're going to continue on, and there's a couple other things that I want us to look at today. So if you're in the family room, or you're in this room, or you're online, if you got a Bible, open up to the book of John. Open up to the book of John. John's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Rodney Wilson, that was for you. I know you need help there in the family room, so grab your Bible. Make sure you got it. We're going to be in the book of John. One of the things that we've learned, I think, during this time is how important generosity is as followers of Christ. Generosity is super, super important. And I want to talk to you for just a few moments about that. During Corona, when it all hit, I told you March 8 was when it kind of hit. March 8, 3 weeks prior to that, I became the campus pastor here. So 3 weeks after I became the campus pastor, somehow I was able to shut us down for 3 months. I don't know. We shut down, and I wish I could tell you that there wasn't a little bit of angst or a little bit of concern, a little bit of anxiety inside, going, wait a minute, what are you doing? Here we've shut down. I'm not getting to invest in a people that you've called me to. I'm not getting to walk alongside them. And then it began to hit me, oh, wait, we have people whose jobs are in jeopardy, people who are losing jobs. You're reading all kinds of things online and seeing those. And I began to go, Lord, how are we going to do this? What's going to happen? But I want you to hear this. The Lord has been so faithful. I have three children, adult children, but they're still my children, all right? Married, gone off. Praise the Lord. They're gone off. They're off the payroll. But they're still my kids. And when they were little, one of the things that Amy and I would always try to do is we looked for ways to encourage them. Students, kids, if you're in the room, you're in the family room, your parents aren't always trying to find ways to nitpick. We're also trying to find ways to encourage, you know, a little positive reinforcement. And when I would find it, you know what I'd do? Great job. You did awesome. I want to encourage you. You want to reinforce something. Well, I want you to hear this, all right? And I don't want you to miss this. I want to say to us, LifePoint Riverdale, your generosity, you being faithful with the tithes and offerings that God has given you and that you've given back to Him. You know, we're just stewards of everything He's given us. Well, the finances that He's given you to steward, and you have done an incredible job. During the 3 months of the corona shutdown for us, and I want you to hear this, during those 3 months, your tithes and offerings were more than they were the three months the same last year prior. You gave more during the 3 months that we didn't gather. Don't get any ideas. We're going to keep meeting. But praise God, you were shown faithful. You gave back to him. And I want to share with you a couple of things that happened. During that time, let me tell you what happened because of your faithfulness with the tithes and offerings. Over 7,000 meals were fed to people who needed meals. We were giving meals out and to the police departments in Murfreesboro and Smyrna. We worked with the EMS with meals. Teachers, we forget that teachers were still going on during that time, figuring out how to teach. We were taking meals to them. Masks. We put out a call and said, can people make masks? Over 2,000 masks were made in like a 10-day period, sent all throughout the county, through the hospitals, even across the world, Brussels, Bangkok, Haiti, Brazil. We sent masks all around as we stepped in. The Smyrna, because it was the largest and most central there, the Smyrna, one of the areas there became a food bank. We had over 200 food boxes because of tithes and offerings that we were able to make and directly give to people who had no food. Literally, we walked into their houses. They had no food during that time. We were able to step in with people who had financial needs. You know how all of that happened? Because we were found faithful and generous with what it was that God had given us. He's entrusted that money to us, and our hands became open. And I want to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to encourage us to keep on. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, there's a story of two people. And I want you to see in their lives the difference in how they saw generosity and how they saw selfishness. Beginning there, 6 days, verse 1, John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, therefore, so this is right before Jesus was to die. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment and made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, notice what John does here. He puts a little parenthetical. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Verse 7, Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." This story shows the hearts of two different people, Judas, who was selfish, Mary, who was generous. Now, the story tells us that what we see here, John writes, and he says, listen, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. They're having a meal in the honor of Lazarus and Jesus, and so they're there gathered. Lazarus is sitting back at the table with Jesus. You got Martha serving. You got Mary, who comes in, who is at the feet of Jesus. And it says that she brought in an ointment. She brought in something called nard. It's made from a plant. It says there was a pound of it. So about 16 ounces of this ointment, this perfume. It was very, very, it was a beautiful smell. One of the things they used it for was literally for perfume, but then also they would anoint the bodies of the dead so that the stench would remain low. And so this nard, she brings in, and the scripture says, John writes and says that she came in, she got down on her feet, on her knees at Jesus' feet, she poured some of the oil, and the reason we know some of it is because Jesus said there in verse 7, he says, hey, leave her alone, she saved the rest of it for my burial. So he's pointing to the gospel, he's pointing, my death is coming. So she pours it, and then she wipes his feet with her hair. Well, this really kind of gets under the skin of the financial administrator, the one who is handling all the money, Judas. Judas was the guy who had the money bag, and whenever there was something needed to happen or offerings were given or people gave donations, he had it. So Judas looks around, and in his very noble way, he says, what in the world's going on here? She's using this. We could take this, and we could go sell it for 300 denarii. Now, well, a denarii in that day, one denarii was a day's wage. So what you gather here is that 16 ounces, that 1 pound of ointment was worth somewhere, according to Judas, around 300 denarii, 1 year's of the salary almost. Now, did Judas really care about that? No, because John tells us he had sticky fingers. He was the guy who he would help himself. In fact, the word thief is pretty clear. It says he was a thief he would take out. Now, guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Back when we did pass the offering plate, I've never seen, in fact, we have baskets and stuff at the doors now, okay? That's how you can give. But when we were passing it, I've never seen anybody like steal money and rob out of that offering plate. That was one of the reasons we started doing online, so you didn't have that temptation anymore. I'm kidding. I've never seen that. I have seen this. This is kind of funny. I have seen people make change out of the offering basket before. But I've never seen anybody steal out of it or rob out of it. We can't even imagine that. I mean, I can't imagine that happening. Yet Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this, that we rob God when we don't give our tithes and offerings, when we don't bring the first fruits back into the storehouse, we actually rob from God. Folks, you realize that the enemy of generosity is selfishness. And the only way to fight selfishness is to begin to practice giving, is to begin to give. That's the only way that begins to happen. You realize also, parents in the room, you know that we are born selfish and depraved when you look at your toddler and you begin to listen. 100 times a day, you begin to hear, mine, 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 mine. And we get that, but that doesn't change as we get older. We just use different language. We begin to hold on. We begin to grasp. We begin to, you want me to do what? And like Judas, looking at Mary, Judas should have been excited that she was anointing the Savior, but Judas already knew, 6 days from now, I'm going to betray him. I'm selling him out. He already knew. He should have been excited, yet what? Why are you doing that? We could have sold this and given it to the poor, and yet we oftentimes, let's don't look at Judas and go, oh, could he not see? Listen, we oftentimes, have you ever found yourself in this? I know I have, where I'm going, I would have never spent my money that way. I wouldn't have done that. They bought what? That could have been you. Folks, when we do that, we're becoming a Judas right there, that spirit. Folks, listen, God has entrusted us with finances, and I want you to hear it. Church, please hear this. I'm so thankful. You've done awesome. But just like any school that who does testing, you know, we've just finished the whole testing stuff. And you know, there are schools who are exemplary. They pass with flying colors. But that doesn't mean that everybody in that school passed with flying colors. Life Point Riverdale, I want you to hear this. We've passed that test, all right? The Lord has been, we've been faithful in that, but there may be some students in here who are still struggling with the test of generosity in your own life. And my question to you, whether you're in here or you're in the family room or you're online, how did you do during the test of Corona? How did you do during that time? Listen, I want you to know that some of you in here, you may not even know how to give here. And I want to share that with you real quick. One, you're going to see a graphic come up. You're going to be able to see. As you walk out of any door, there are white baskets. You can drop cash. You can drop checks. You can put them in envelopes if you need a record of that for your taxes. There's a number. You could text that in. Listen, Amy and I, my wife, her name is Amy, for those of you who do not know, Amy and I, we draw a salary. It never changes. It's always the same. And when I say it never changes, every year we reevaluate whether it goes up or it goes down. And we set it up with our bank to where that money just comes here every month. It just goes to the church. That is our first fruit. We've decided that. Some of you would go, I don't draw a salary. Money comes in, well, you can text it. You can mail it in. Folks, listen, we want you. We don't just try to make it easy, though we do want to make it easy, because we want all of us to be faithful stewards. We want to have people who are open-handed. Listen, when you're grasping at everything to keep it mine, I want you to hear this. That arm's going to cramp up. And at some point, you're just going to have to let it go. And it's always easier. God, take. This is yours. He gave it to us anyway. I want to pray, and I want to thank God. We're not done. Listen, we're half point here, okay? We're a little more half point. But I want to thank God for the generosity of this body. You mind? Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for the generous body you've given us. God, I thank you that we have been proven faithful as a body of believers. Now, God, I ask if there is someone in this community who's never stepped in, who's never faithed you with their pocketbook, with their accounts. God, I'd ask you, would you help them to step out in faith now? I'm thankful. Malachi tells us to test you in this and to see that you would not throw open the floodgates of heaven. You'll take care of us, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for taking care of this church during these last 3 months the way that you have. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Last week, we talked about gathering and the importance of gathering together like this. Well, today, I also want to remind you the second thing. And this is something that even, listen, we passed the test of generosity, something that I want to call us back to. And I hope Corona changes everything in this, is that we will be people who will gather together in authentic community, not just in groups of hundreds, but I'm talking about in groups of small groups of 10, 8, 5, 2s and 3s, where we're meeting and our lives are rubbing up against each other. That is so very important for us. You realize that for 3 months, we've not been able to meet together. How quickly, those of you who study these kinds of things, you may have read this on those life hack things. How long does it take for a habit to begin? How many days? 30. 21, 30, something like that. I mean, it's like 30 days. How many days have we not met? Almost 90. Folks, you realize we have to come together. It is time that we come back together in our groups. It's time for that to begin happening. Now, we got to do that safely. But I want you to begin to think about that, if you will. Turn over a few pages to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. CJ, that is right before Timothy. So I just want you to be awake. All right, right before Timothy, New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Paul's writing to the church, and he says, So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves. Underline that. We were not only ready to share the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you had become very dear to us. Folks, listen, that word selves right there in verse 8. In the original language, the New Testament was written in Greek. In the original language, that means this. It means your soul. Paul tells them, he says, listen, when we came to you, we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? We sang it a little while ago. There once was a day when I was a prisoner. I was a slave to sin. the things I wanted to do, I didn't do. You know why? Because my eyes were closed and I couldn't see Jesus. And there was a day when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and he set me free. And I surrendered and submitted my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That is the gospel. And there is no other way, no other name found under heaven by which men must be saved, only in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. If we want to go to heaven, we got to trust in Jesus. If we believe in a real heaven, I want you to know, we have to also believe in a real place called hell. That is, we would be eternally separated if we've never surrendered our life to Jesus. But Paul said this. You know what Paul said? Paul said, we came not only preaching the gospel of God, but we came and we gave you ourselves. We gave you our souls. Because we were desirous of you. He said, listen, we met with you. And not only did we tell you about how your life could be changed for eternity, we told you about how Jesus, the gospel, can change you here and now. It can set you free. The gospel applies everywhere. You know what ends up happening a lot of times? A lot of times we trust Jesus for our eternal salvation, and then we head to a bookstore, well, back when there were bookstores, and we would go to the self-help section, and we're just pulling off something. Oh, I need something on my marriage. I need something on my kids. I need something on this. I need something on that. And I want you to hear, the gospel is sufficient. The gospel comes to bear to our life, and it helps us to know how to overcome fear. It helps us to know how to overcome anxiety. It helps us to know how to overcome addictions. It helps us to know how to overcome our marriages and the situations in our marriages and our problems with our kids. The gospel comes to bear in everything. And you know what Paul said? He said, we met with you because we were desirous, and our lives rubbed up against your life, and we shared the gospel with you. Folks, the gospel is no less than salvation, and so much more as it talks about the abundant life, the gospel in all of life. You know how that happens? It happens when we gather together in groups of twos and threes and fours and fives and tens. Do you realize all the way through this corona shutdown, we could still meet in groups of 10, those if you were healthy and you were distance. You had that special distance. Listen, social distancing, it may be, it's a term that we've used here lately, but it's nothing new. We've got a definition for it. Listen, when we have a struggle as a church many times, Big C Church and Riverdale Church, when we don't meet with each other to walk in each other's lives and to share our life, to share our souls with one another. Listen, when you know, you probably know what your third cousin twice removed or whatever that is had for dinner last night because you saw it posted on Facebook last night. You're not real close to them. Some of you sitting in this room right now and in the family room and online, you may be in groups of hundreds and tens, but you still feel just completely disconnected. Have you ever been in a spot where you were in maybe a large group, but you're going, I feel all alone? Listen, as a body of believers who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, we're called to be doing life together. Not just sharing the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of we have abundant life here and now because of Jesus. And the way that we do that is as we're up close with each other. Maybe 6 feet apart right now, but we get together and we talk about those things and we walk in each other's lives. Folks, listen, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that Corona changes this aspect, that we begin to see the importance of face-to-face, being together, walking with one another, crying with one another, celebrating with one another. Listen, my marriage needs help. I need you in my life. My kids, they're off the rails. I need you in my life. Listen, my wife just had a baby. Not literally, we're not doing that. But my wife just had a baby. I need you to celebrate with me. I just baptized my father. I need you to celebrate that with me. That's going to mean us sharing our souls up close with one another. Folks, I want to share, and I'm going to give you some ways here, okay? But I want to share with you, listen, very soon, I don't know the exact time, but soon, we're kicking some student ministry back off. I don't know how that's going to look yet. It will be socially distant at some level, probably going to be outside at some level. But I want you to know, if we continue to wait, do you know it could be 6 months before our teenagers get together? And you know what happens in 30 days? You develop a habit. Do you know what happens when you're apart from each other for 2 weeks? You forget who each other are. Guys, we got to come together. Ladies in this church, ladies, listen, ladies, no matter if you're in the family room, online, in this room, our women, they're starting a Bible study online. They're meeting together. They're reading a book. There's over 40 women who've already signed up. They're going to meet together, have conversation online. I think they got a couple of times where they're going to get together. If you've not jumped in, you can do that. There's still time. LifePoint Riverdale Women's Ministry, I think is what it's called. Or see Brandy Hernandez somewhere. Alexis Big, my wife, Amy Goen. They can help you get plugged in. Men, monthly, we have an event called GRIT, G-R-I-T. It stands for something. I don't know what it is, but it's GRIT. We want you to plug in, men. Jump in. We want you to get in on that. Do you realize, folks, I want to tell you, if you're not comfortable having people at your home right now, come to the parking lot. If you want, let us know. We'll get this building open for you. You can sit 6 feet apart in a big circle. You can do it outside. We have tents set up outside. When you come in, we can do that. Folks, we've got to get together. Safely. Hear that. But we can't shrink back. We've got to be together. And so I'm encouraging you, jump in. We're going to begin in the next couple of weeks. Be on the lookout. We're going to begin in the next couple of weeks on a Wednesday night. There's going to be a class. Larry Pippin's going to be teaching it, and it's going to be on the book of Romans. We're going to start Romans 1:1. We're going to go to the end of chapter 16, not in one night, but it's going to be ongoing. We invite you to be involved in that. It'll be an open class. We're going to do it to where it's safe that you can gather. But folks, we're created for community. And I'm hopeful that Corona changes our gathering. I'm hopeful that we will gather, not just large, but small. I'm hopeful that today, as you drive off this parking lot, that you're going to scatter and you're going to live for the glory of Jesus in your neighborhood, and in your work, and in your home. Thank you. Thank you for being generous. Today, you have the opportunity to connect. You can text in. I want to connect. It'll be on the screen. We want to tell you how to get plugged in. You can text connect to that number. Or you can see me or CJ out of your worship venues. We want to walk with you in that way. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you can also text in Jesus, the word Jesus, Jesus, to that number. You're going to get a text before you probably leave this parking lot today, and we want to set up a time to begin talking with you. You can come see me out here. I want to talk with you about Jesus. I had somebody come and talk to me about baptism earlier. We're going to begin to meet with them about being baptized, and what does that look like? Folks, listen, do not run from what the Spirit is asking you to do today. Don't run from that, all right? Last week, we sang a song about the family of God and about we are now a part of a family of God, a covenant brothers and sisters with each other. And so today, listen, we're going to sing that again. And I want you to sing. If you go, I don't know the song, you're going to catch it quickly, but I want you to hear the words. I want you to read the words. And as a family of God, we've been placed together, and we've got to come together as family and walk with one another. And I'm going to encourage you to invite someone into this family. It's already open. You can register for next week. I don't know how much longer we'll do that, but I encourage you, you join with us. Zion, won't you come and you lead us? If you're in the family room, we want you to stay. We want you to be a part of this singing with us.